right. Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege to be here. And I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Joshua. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. I want to talk to you this evening about how God uses obstacles in our lives. I think Pastor already made it clear that he asked the question, how many of you have obstacles? And I can already answer that question. All of us do. Amen? The man has an innate propensity to have a desire built into him to overcome obstacles. It seems like even when we set up our athletics, when we put a track out, it's not just enough for us just to run around the track and beat the opponent, but someone came up with the idea to put hurdles in the way and make it more difficult to run the same track. And then someone said, let's make it even more difficult and take a pole and see if we can't jump over the obstacle that's in front of us, and we call it pole vault. But man has a way, somehow, of facing obstacles and looking at them and either turning back and going another direction, or something down inside of him allows him to press through the obstacle and move on. And I pray tonight that as we look at this text, that we'll learn that Joshua, the man of God, was called of the Lord to take the people of God into Canaan land. How many of you know the story of Joshua going into Canaan land? Well, we know that story. Then the very first thing that he comes in contact with is this great city called Jericho. God placed an obstacle right in front of their very first victory. They had the victory of crossing over the Jordan River, but the moment they get into Canaan land, the first thing that they run into is this great, huge city called Jericho. We're going to read a few verses now. The text says down through verse 21, but for sake of time, I'm going to trim off some of the text tonight and make it clearer to you. But verse 1, this Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up besides of the children of Israel. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thou shalt thou do 6 days. Now we know that they go around it for 6 days, every day blowing the trumpet. And then look down at verse number 6:15. The Bible says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, of course, they go in and capture the city. The walls of Jericho fall down, and the obstacle before them is removed. Now look at verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, for us to understand the significance of this story, we need to go back to Joshua chapter 1. And so look with me for just a moment to Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse number 3. This was the promise that God gave to Joshua after Moses, the man of God, the great prophet, had died. The Bible says, in every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then in verse 9 of that same chapter, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, the story of Joshua taking Jericho is a very familiar story. Most of us probably learned that little story somewhere back in Sunday school. But it's very significant for us to understand what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. You need to understand that Moses had served God faithfully all the years of his life, and the people of God only really knew one leader. Joshua and Caleb had found themselves faithful when they went to spy out the land. Of course, they came back with a good report. So they were able to go into the land of Canaan, but everyone else had to die off in the wilderness before they could go over into the land, what we call the promised land. Now, to understand that God had promised them the land, we just read that in the verse, everywhere they were to put the sole of their foot down, that was going to be their land. And God gave them some boundaries. He said, we're going to make it from the river Euphrates all the way to the great river, and from the mountain peaks of the north all the way to the south, all the way almost to Egypt. He said, this is your land. Now, when God promised that, and God makes a promise to his children, God lives up to the promise, doesn't he? However, although we have the promises of God, we are not promised that there won't be obstacles on our way along the route until we get to the promised land. Now, in the Christian life, when we study the scriptures and we look at the promised land, it's a picture of living in the victorious Christian life. Now, it's not a picture of going to heaven. Some people say, oh, we're going to go to the promised land. It's more of living in the victorious Christian life in the land that God has promised us than it is of going to heaven. And so I want you to see tonight that as the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River and they went into Canaan, that they were maturing and moving up in their walk with God, and they were entering into a mature relationship with the Lord that generation had not yet known. Now, how many of you want to walk closer with the Lord tonight? Well, guess what? God wants you to walk closer to Him, and God wants you to know Him in a deeper way. However, God's not going to remove every obstacle in your life for that to take place. You're going to have to learn how to overcome some of the obstacles of serving God, or you will never get into the land of promise. Now, God uses obstacles in our life so that we can learn many things. And as we learn these, we can progress to the next step. And ultimately, God's will is for us to live in the presence of God on a regular basis without breaking that fellowship because of sin or even obstacles coming into our life. You know, as I was looking at church this morning, I'm sure that Pastor Jimmy probably looked out, and through the congregation, he probably said, there's someone missing on this side, and someone that's normally here is missing on that side, and someone that's normally here is not here because of this or that. And the truth of it is, we make decisions on how we face the obstacles of life, and it's our decisions with the help of God that helps us to become more faithful for Jesus Christ. We can all find excuses, and God will not, He will not hold us guiltless to make some kind of a frivolous excuse up to miss church, but God will allow obstacles to come into our life, even when it comes to serving God. And so how is it that we can learn from these obstacles is what I want to talk with you tonight. I want you to, first of all, think of this when they got across Jordan River. Every promise that they were promised from chapter 1 of the book of Joshua up until this point that they had heard about, every promise and blessing was through Jericho. They still had to get to the land of milk and honey. They still had to get into the promised land. But what kept them from getting there was this great walled city. Standing before them, there was a huge obstacle. And they understood that if they were going to get what God promised them, they were going to have to go through that obstacle. Now, the truth of it is, some Christians, when they run into an obstacle, they go, well, Pastor, you know, the dog had the flu this morning, so we couldn't come to church. That's all the obstacle it takes, you know, for the dog to come down with the bird flu. But the truth of it is, we can either take an obstacle and keep it from serving God, or we can learn from the obstacle and keep moving forward, and eventually God will help us to overcome the obstacle so that when we finally reach the goal that God has promised us, it means far more to us. Just like the athlete that jumps over the hurdle and gets to the prize, he feels better when he doesn't knock down any of the hurdles, he goes over the hurdle like he's supposed to, because the obstacle is set there to make it a little bit more difficult, not to stop him, but just make it a little more difficult so that the appreciation at the end of the race is understood far greater. Now I want you to understand that not only was the land of promise there, but I want you to notice second, they had come too far to turn back. They had already come too far to turn back. Let me explain. 40 years in the wilderness is long enough. Amen? And the whole generation that was supposed to go into the promised land had to die off, and only Caleb and Joshua and his family got to go in. So one generation had already missed the promises of God. And so they had already come too far to turn back. Some of you, how many of you have been saved over 2 years? You've known the Lord. Listen, if you've been saved 2 years, you've already come too far to turn back. You've already been saved too long to turn back. And the truth of it is, they had come too far to turn back. I want you to think of a third thought. And that is, the obstacles in our life gives us opportunity to involve God in the solution. When they come to Jericho, what they found is this walled city. Now, up to this point, they had basically just followed the leadership of Joshua. Joshua said, we're going to do this now that Moses is dead. We're going to do this. I want you to get the priests together, get the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to go across. I've got all of the things from God and what we're supposed to do. But once they crossed over the Jordan River, maturity was expected of them, and they had to live up to some things, and the obstacle helped them to live up to certain requirements so that they could move into the land of promise. Now, what God does with obstacles is He gives us an opportunity to get Him involved in the solution. Now, if you go back over to the chapter 6, we don't have time tonight to look at all of it, but He tells them specifically what to do as they marched around the city. They were to march around the city. No one was supposed to talk. No one was supposed to say a word. Now, can you imagine a Baptist church marching around a city and not talking? Boy, they must not have been Baptists, huh? Can you imagine them not saying a word? So God said, look, if you want me to be involved in it, you're going to have to do it my way. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, it seems really simplistic to think that they're marching around the city and blowing some horns are really going to knock these walls down. That really seems simple, doesn't it? What do you mean, Lord? You're going to knock walls down because we're going to follow your plan? Well, see, God said, look, I want you to understand something. The obstacle's there so that you will allow me to get involved in the solution of the problem. See, God sometimes places obstacles in our life so that we have to get Him involved with our life so that we follow His plan for solving the problem. The problems come. I hate to tell you, but life is full of obstacles. We call them problems or difficulties or circumstances. You call them whatever you are, but they're obstacles. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You ever heard that verse before? Now let me explain that verse to you in a little bit of detail. It doesn't mean that individually, every obstacle and every problem that comes to your life is going to be good for you. What I said? Not everything that happens to us is good as individuals. Collectively, though, all of the problems that happen to us, that happens to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to them that love God, collectively, like a great big jigsaw puzzle. You ever seen a great big jigsaw puzzle? You like to put puzzles together? Collectively, they all together work for good. The problem is, some people allow obstacles in their lives and problems in their life to keep them from moving forward for God. And so God never intended for the problems of life to stop us. He wants us to get Him involved in the solution solving so that ultimately all of us can say together, all things have worked together for God's glory. When we get to heaven, folks, we're going to be able to see life in its totality. We're going to be able to have a viewpoint that's so panoramic and so overcoming that we can't even fathom what it's going to be like. We're going to have an understanding that's far more complete than now. So we're going to be able to say, why is this little baby that we just heard about? Why did that happen? Well, these kind of problems, these kind of obstacles that happen in our life, we don't have the answers now, but we know collectively when the church of God is all together, when we as God's people all stand before the Lord, we'll understand it better by and by. We will understand it that God had a purpose and God had a plan. And so God uses obstacles in our lives so that we get Him involved in the solution-solving business. We're not to solve it by ourselves. We're not to knock the walls down ourselves. We're to do it according to God's plan. And if we do it God's way, guess what? It'll fall down. But if we do it our way, if we open our mouth and put our 2 cents in it, guess what happens? The walls won't fall. And so we must allow God to work in our life through obstacles. I want you to notice that the greater the obstacle, the greater the blessing. That's the way life is. The greater the obstacle, the greater the blessing. Now I want us to think about how God uses obstacles in our life. First of all, I want us to think about preparation. God uses obstacles to prepare us for greater things. He slows us down in a sense. Obstacles have a way of slowing us down. I put down here, it allows us preparation time for God to teach us. In our story here in the Word of God, the men had to rely on God's plan. God taught them how the walls were going to come down. And for 7 days, they had to learn and slow down a little bit and not just rush into Canaan, but they had to slow down and allow God to teach them a few things about removal of obstacles. Some of you might right now, when you're younger, you want everything right now. Some of you young men, you know what you want right now? You want the prettiest girl, the fastest car, and the most money. All right now. That's what you want. Well, I got some news. I married the prettiest girl. So, you're out of luck there, amen? And Jimmy did too, amen? And Jimmy Sr. did too. And you did too, amen? That's right, brother. You better dig yourself out back there. The truth of it is, we don't want to wait for God's plan. We want to rush ahead and just go into Canaan land. But no, God has a way of putting obstacles in our life so that it gives us time for Him to teach us. Also, it gives us time for us to grow in desire for His solution. Remember what I said back in the introduction? That God puts obstacles in our lives so that we have a desire to have Him involved in the solution-solving business. We want Him in the problem-solving business of our life. And so obstacles come so that God places in our heart, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for the obstacles to come down. Now, my wife and I, we went back to New York City 9 years ago, right outside of New York City, to finish a work that needed to be finished. We had been praying for church building in that area for over 20 years. We really didn't know what we were going to do unless we got our own facility. And so we had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. We tried everything in the world. We tried mortgaging this and mortgaging that and saving this and saving that. And God put the obstacle of not having a building in our way so that we would have God's desire more than our desire for solving the problem. Now, sometimes, I mean, you young people, you've got school ahead of you. You know why school's difficult? God wants school a little difficult so that you have to work through the obstacle so that God can work in your life so that you'll find that it's God that helps you solve your problems and helps to solve the solutions of life. This is what God does in obstacles. God doesn't place everything as a smooth road. Some roads are crooked. Some roads have potholes. Some have obstacles. And so God places obstacles in our life so that we have a desire. We can't wait to get to the end of the journey. We want the obstacle down. And finally, it literally helps us to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And when we say that, then God can teach us how he wants it done, and we don't care. As long as it gets done God's way, we'll take it any way he can. Now, our church had prayed for 20 years for a building. We thought of every man-made attempt to get a building. We decided that, my wife and I decided in October of 1 year, that we were tired of trying to figure it out. We just said we're tired of figuring it out. And if God doesn't figure it out pretty soon, then we don't know what we're going to do. And so rather than God using our plan, he had another plan. Rather than us saving money and trying to buy a building, and we tried all of that, we did everything possible, humanly possible, to get a building. God said, no, if you'll be faithful, I'll give you one. So God gave us one. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I had some time to wait on God's plan. I'm glad I had some obstacles in my life that had me to the point that I didn't care what God did. As long as he did it, I was willing to go along with his plan. Now, some of you right now may be at work. You're praying for a promotion. God put an obstacle there. You think you need the promotion. It may be God slows you down a little bit so that the promotion, when it does come, you'll say, man, I'll take it, Lord. Any way you want me to take it, Lord. If you want me to have to go back to school and learn something, if you're going to have me to better my education, to better myself, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it as long as it's your solution. And so this is what God does with obstacles in our life. He gives us time to prepare. He gives us time to desire his will more than our will. And after 40 years, I believe that Joshua and Caleb and all those that were following him, they were ready to get to the promised land. All right, Lord, if we're going to stay here on the bank of the Jordan River with Jericho in front of us forever, we're not going to be happy. Lord, you just do it any way you tell us to do it, and we'll follow your way. Then the next thought is persistence. Struggle, persistence is that tenacity. We can't stop. It's the thing that drives us to take one more step. It's the energy that the Holy Spirit gives to the Christian to take a step when it's all by faith and nothing can be seen, but you step out by faith. I remember 5 years ago when the Aruka Baptist Church was started over here, just a little over 5 years this past October. I remember Jimmy sending me pictures through the internet of an empty building. And Marie sitting here on this platform, and they're taking pictures out that way, and the picture's coming this way, and there wasn't a person in it. And you know what they thought? Well, God's given us the building. Now the obstacle is to fill it up. Amen. Now look here tonight. There's a good crowd here tonight. Amen. For Christmas week, I think this is a wonderful crowd. But the tenacity, this persistence, God places obstacles in our life so that we struggle, and the struggle causes us to build character. You know what pastors say about their faithful members? Here's what they say. I've been a pastor almost over 25 years. You know what they say? I've got people that come rain or shine. That's an old saying that we say. They come no matter what the obstacle, because they've had to overcome obstacles in their life, and the struggle builds character. If serving God was easy, everyone would be serving God. If maturing as a Christian was easy, everyone would be in Canaan land. It's not. You had to cross Jordan. Now you got to get through Jericho. You've got to get through these obstacles. If everything in the Christian life was easy, then we would just go to heaven the moment that God saved us. But no, God leaves us here so that we can be an example to a world that is struggling with its problems, and they look at us and we struggle with our problems, and it's hard to serve God. It's hard to be a missionary. It's hard to be a pastor. It's not easy. But guess what? The struggle builds character. When you don't feel good, you push yourself and you go anyhow. When you have all kinds of circumstances that overwhelm you, you say, these obstacles aren't going to stop me because I see that through Jericho is the Canaan land of my life. There's a blessing over there that God's promised me. And He's going to find me faithful in the struggle. The struggle builds character. When the runner runs around the track and they jump over the hurdles, every hurdle, that's one down. I got a few more to go. And the closer they get to the finish line, the tougher it gets because you get tired. But guess what? Struggle builds character. God has a way of placing obstacles in our lives, not for us to cry and moan and groan and make excuses, but that we somehow, through His power and His plan, force through the pain, drive on through the obstacle, and get to Canaan land that God's promised us to. But it takes struggle. And this struggle builds character. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for someone that quits every time there's an obstacle in their life. But God's looking for people. He's looking for some Christians right here in Aruka Baptist Church. He's looking for Christians to say, you know what? I'm going to stick with this church. I'm going to stick with it. No, we don't have everything we need as a church right now. Y'all don't have everything you need, but guess what? You're going to appreciate it when God gives it to you. And if you just struggle a little bit now, it's going to be sweeter when God finally gets you to Canaan land. But I promise you this, if you give up now, you'll never know how sweet Canaan land really is. The Bible said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. The Bible teaches that the fruit of patience is experience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 through 4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And here's the sequence. When we get to the experience part, we've been through a few obstacles. Time you get to that end of the verse. So you say, well, I just struggle on. I just continue to be faithful. Be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to just stay faithful. I found out that through experience, there's hope at the end of the tunnel. I know that it's not all, but guess what? Not every day is a struggle. Some days are struggles. Thank God not every day is a struggle, amen? But if I'm long enough in it, I've learned through experience that there's hope. God is our hope. And God is our strength. And God will give us the strength to get through the obstacles. And so we understand this thing of persistence. Then there's another thought, and that is purpose. The obstacle, and I want you to catch this, especially you older Christians, I want you to catch this. The obstacle illuminates God's purpose. Now here they were, getting orders from God on how to knock down Jericho. Now Jericho is not the goal. That's just the obstacle. The goal is Canaan land. And there's going to be one, listen, if you read the book of Joshua, Jericho is just the beginning of the obstacles. The next obstacle, they find sin in the camp. And then you find an invading army. And one problem after another. And people are going to let you down. But the obstacle, there's a purpose to it. God wants us to find His purpose in our life. The obstacle illuminates God's purpose. See, the purpose is to reach Canaan land. The purpose is to reach Canaan land. And that's where we go. And then, get this next, and then the purpose illuminates God's plan. 7 days they had to walk around. I can imagine what they talked about at night. I wonder why we could knock down the walls yesterday. I don't know. This is what God wants. I mean, I guess we just keep going. Oh, man, I'm tired of walking around Jericho. I mean, you get tired after about 4 or 5 days after you want to give up. But what happens is, the purpose has a way of illuminating God's plan. It has a purpose in it. God's purpose is to illuminate the plan to your life. And then the plan, and this is the key, the plan illuminates God's presence. When they get to the seventh day, guess what they find out? It's not the trumpets that knock down the wall. Trumpets aren't that powerful, are they? It's not the trumpets that knocked down the wall. It was the presence of God in their life that knocked down their wall. And so God's ultimate purpose is for us to enjoy His presence. See, it's God's presence in our life that gives us the power to knock down the obstacle. And it's God's plan, and He has a way of illuminating to it through the obstacle. But if life is just full of roses, then we never take a moment to sit down and say, oh God, I've got to pray about this. When you have a sick child in your home or a sick loved one or a sick relative, you know what you do? You pray more, don't you? You pray more. Because the obstacle has a way of illuminating in your life the need for the presence of God in your life. And so that's what the obstacle's about. So don't curse the obstacle. Ask the question, Lord, what's this obstacle here for me to learn? Is it to build character in my life? Is there some purpose in it that I've missed? Because without the obstacle, I miss everything there is in God's plan. And I forget that the most important thing in God's plan is God's purpose. Without the obstacle, Israel would have missed God's presence. Now, in Joshua, that same chapter, the 27th verse, and so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Joshua needed a little PR work. You know what he needed? He needed for everyone to know that as he was with Moses and all the feats that Moses did, he's now with Joshua. He's now, the Holy Spirit of God is now on Joshua like it was in Moses. And all of a sudden, because of the walls of Jericho falling down, all of the people of God understood, you know what? This man has overcome this obstacle. He followed God's plan. He knew God's purpose in his life. God revealed it to him. He followed it. And we see that God's hand is on him. When you do the will of God, people will see that God's hand is upon you. Now listen to a few verses back in chapter 14 of Joshua. Now here's the promise being fulfilled. Think of this. Caleb now is 85 years old. Joshua is 45 years older. All this time now that they've been in Canaan after Jericho. And the Bible says, and these are the countries, verse 1 of Joshua 14, and these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan with Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribe of Israel distributed for the inheritance to them. Guess what? They finally got what God planned for them. But they had to go through that obstacle. When they first looked at the walls of Jericho, they said, oh my goodness, the river was enough. Putting up with this, I mean, this is just tough business. But they went through that first obstacle and they followed God's will, and ultimately they ended up inheriting all the land that God promised them. See, God lived up to His promise, but He also helped them to overcome every obstacle that they faced. And my friend, God will live up to His promise in your life tonight, and He will help you to overcome any obstacle in your life. Because you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. You can overcome the obstacles. Yes, it's going to cause you to struggle. Yes, it's going to slow your progress down sometimes. It's going to give us time to learn and grow. It's going to give us time to build character. The struggle's there so that when we finally get to the land that floweth with milk and honey, we can say, man, I know who got me here. It was the presence of God all along in my life that enabled me to overcome the obstacle. And every victory that you've ever had in your Christian life came because of the presence of God in your life. Every victory that you ever have overcome came from the presence of God. You never did it on your own. But you learned more from it when there was a struggle involved, when there was an obstacle involved. And so learn from the obstacles of God and claim the presence of God in your life. And mature a little bit as a Christian, because this is what it's all about. That's what obstacles are there for. Not to stop us, not to defeat us, but for us to become overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might mature and be the examples to God's people that we're supposed to be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. This was a little bit different message than I had prepared, but God changed my mind yesterday about this, and I talked to the pastor about preaching. He said, go ahead. Some of you tonight may be faced with tremendous obstacles in your life. There may be a loved one right now in your life that is just really giving you a fit. There may be a relationship right now that is just causing you deep pain. There may be something financially in your life that is just slowing down your growth as a person. There may be a situation in your life that you would like to see God change. Don't allow the obstacle to stop you. Allow the obstacle to change your heart so that you want the presence of God more than anything else, because that's where the power of God comes from. It wasn't the trumpets that knocked down the wall. It wasn't their seven times on the seventh day, nor their one lap around the city every day for the first 6 days. What knocked down the walls was the presence of God. It was God being with them. What you need more than anything else is you need God to help you with your obstacle. Don't do it your way, do it God's way. Remain faithful, and God will help you to take one. All you need is enough faith to take one step. If you'll take one step, God is there waiting for you to help you get through that obstacle. How many tonight say, Pastor? Brother Holland, I've got obstacles in my life. There's one obstacle right now in my life that's really burdening me. I need prayer tonight. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you and you and you. See, look at the hands. You've got something that has burdened you down, and you know unless God intervenes, it's not going to happen. Listen, don't you quit. The struggle's going to build character. If you'll stay by the stuff, the walls will come down, the obstacle will fall, and you'll get the victory, and you will appreciate the victory far more because of the struggle, because of the obstacle. That's why obstacles come in our life. But you've got to do it God's way. You've got to follow God's plan. See, if they would have deviated one inch from God's plan, if they would have spoken out of turn, if they wouldn't have marched around the building for the first 6 days, if they wouldn't have done everything that God told Joshua to do, the walls wouldn't have come down. See, it takes the presence of God and the obedience of God for the walls to fall in your life. You be an obedient Christian to the Word of God, and you'll see obstacles fall one after another in your life, and you'll grow in maturity as a Christian.